Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Seeking Alpha, Alpha Talks Editors Roundtable. What moved markets this week, or in this case, the 4 days concluding Thursday, April 1st, 2021, a holiday shortened week here in the US, where there was a bit of a midweek rally in tech that started yesterday, Wednesday afternoon, and has continued. Cause for this is not entirely clear off the bat. It may have been some of the talk in the Biden administration's infrastructure announcement about investing in semiconductors to create more chips in the US. Micron also had positive earnings, and there's been some M&A talk on the semiconductor front as well. I imagined all that kind of played into tech's hands a little bit, but I'm curious to see what my co-panelists have to say about all this, about the infrastructure announcement and about anything else that's been moving markets. And let me introduce them now. In no particular order, Brad Olison, VP of News, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, Stephen Alfer, Managing Editor of Breaking News. I am your host and moderator, Nathaniel E. Baker, Senior Editor of Strategic Contributors. Let's start with Kim to give us the lay of the land and his rundown on the big picture of what moved markets this week.
I think this week what we've seen is a bit of a reversal from what we saw as Q1 as a whole, where you had the Dow leading, S&P in the middle, NASDAQ trailing. This time the Dow has been the big driver. And some of that might have to do with, we talked a lot about last week about portfolio rebalancing. And for the end of the quarter, a lot of people moving into certain names. And I think that maybe that might have been a bit overdone on the cyclical side. We could see some bat rotation back into to tech because of that. Another reason we have is you mentioned the infrastructure bill that's good for tech, but also kind of brings up a bit of uncertainty for the markets. There's a lot of fanfare about, you know, the size of the bill and all the projects it has, but it's, you know, got very little chance of any Republican support if it keeps tax hikes in it. So I think maybe the markets are seeing what we've saw a lot of times with further previous stimulus packages of back and forth between the White House and Congress. Mitch McConnell's already come out and says as much that he's not going to support the bill with the tax hikes in it, and also is concerned about the debt. So we've got a little move, kind of retrenchment into the back of what people call the new defensives, the safety and the mega caps that are really, they've been driving the NASDAQ and the S&P today up above 4,000 for the first time intraday.
Yeah, important psychological barrier there potentially on the S&P. You mentioned tax hikes. There may be something that could also be part of it. The fact that there weren't more tax hikes, and that the fact that this is so far just a corporate tax hike and adjusting the corporate tax rate back up to 28%, which is not as high as it was before the Trump tax cuts, and that there was no other talk on that may have been a pleasant surprise for the markets, which may have been fearing or expecting some more draconian talk there. But anyway, let's the winners and losers I'm curious about, and so that's what Brad covers, and he'll tell us about them now.
And just to build on what Kim was saying, there was a bit of a reversal of fortune of what was working before has now flipped. What happened for most of the month actually flipped this past week, where what was working before was utilities, materials, staples, financials. A lot of these value plays for most of the month were really the place to be. Tech is where you didn't want to be at all. That flipped this week. Now you have banks materially weaker. You had tech gain, and obviously looking at some of the winners and losers, it was clearly all infrastructure bill driving a lot of the biggest moves. You had KLA Tencor, Applied Materials, NVIDIA. All of those chip makers are likely beneficiaries of, I think, something like $50 billion worth of semiconductor investment that's inside that infrastructure bill. Tesla was actually the best performer, and this is a fun thing to say, in the S&P 500. Huh. I guess you've still got to get used to saying that, but it was the best performer this week. for that reason, and partially because of how there's a new green, I guess, tidal wave as part of this infrastructure plan, a lot of investment in green energy. A notable gainer in that space, ChargePoint, that's CHPT, they were up 30%. The national government's looking, the government's looking to invest more broadly for charging stations across the country. And on the loser side, we definitely had some energy exposed names. They've had quite the run. The Suez Canal blockage was a big relief for the markets too. I think that might have also contributed to some of the risk on environment. So you know, Baker Hughes there, Williams Companies, Occidental Petroleum, ConocoPhillips, all those were big losers, and you still had some of the lasting damage from, you know, dare we discuss this, but the Archegos blow up. We didn't get to discuss that in much length last week because the story was breaking while we were producing this program. But the hedge fund blow up has had some large ramifications for a lot of names, mainly Viacom and a few Chinese tech names, which are still down. And Viacom, I think, is the Class B shares are still down about 10%. They're the worst performer in the S&P as we go to print, so to speak.
Mm. Yeah, and don't forget also the prime brokers that were caught up in that, Nomura and Credit Suisse. Both shares had a tough week.
I was saving that for the end of the program.
Oh, all right. Well, sorry, I scooped you on it. But Stephen, what were you watching this week?
Blow-ups. It's fascinating to me. You know, we've talked over the months about these various bubbles, and a lot of them have busted, and the market keeps chugging higher. So one can imagine, you know, the SPACs, complete blow-up at this point, right? The stocks have gotten cratered. Nobody's announcing new SPACs now. Tesla, you know, down whatever, 30 or 40%. Apple hasn't done anything in months. It's down 15% from its high, 6-7 months. You know, 6-7 months ago, we were talking, well, the market's moving higher, but it's really Apple, Amazon, and the work from home stocks is driving it. Well, those stocks have done nothing or are down significantly since then. And the S&P is making new record highs. So the market just keeps chugging along despite these busts. It blew right through the, how do you pronounce it? The Archegos blow up.
I think it's Archegos.
Archegos blow up. It, you know, cruised right through that. Deliveroo IPO yesterday or the day before in the UK, bust, you know, and the market just keeps chugging along. So what's fascinating to me is kind of the rotation and the fact that the broad indices just, you know, keep doing fine.
Yeah, and it seems that the rotation from one week to the next, I mean, the up until Wednesday, it was really all about, you know, the rotation back into value and some of these cyclical names, I guess, and out of tech and out of growth. And the last couple of days, again, that to Kim's point, that's kind of reversed. So the question is, where do we go from here and what's the driver for it? So I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, nobody does because we're talking about the future. But
so I think there's notable, there's an item out over the past week talking about how there is this quite a divergence between a lot of the analysts on whether some people expect the value to pull back significantly. And meanwhile, JP Morgan analysts expect value to continue to chug along and be the continual driver of the market. I think Bank of America even had a note out saying that, assuming the stimulus does move forward, you're still going to want to be piling into a lot of these value names because those are the same ones, these infrastructure names and other industrial materials names are going to be the beneficiaries of a lot.
Yeah. I was going to say we may have to wait for earnings season, which doesn't start for another couple more weeks for real. But we do have non-farm payrolls tomorrow, obviously. It's been a bit of a meh the last couple of months. The initial jobless claims today were a disappointment, right? And so that could be something. Obviously, the market's not open tomorrow, but nevertheless, that'll be something that we're all looking at for sure. Bond market's open half the day. All right, maybe in the time we have left, let's move on to. I personally did not prepare a story for it today, but perhaps my colleagues did. The story that they were watching, or perhaps involved with on the reporting and editing side. Why don't we start with Kim?
Well, Brad got scooped, and then he kind of scooped me, but I'm going to go into infrastructure.
Now you got to scoop Stephen.
We're going to go to infrastructure as well, just a little further on that about how, like, you know, companies may be doing some of this, you know, heavy lifting on their own while we wait to see what happens with this bill. You looked at the bill had like $50 billion, you know, for semiconductors, and then Taiwan Semiconductor comes out and says it's going to spend $100 billion. On, you know, on CapEx. And then Apple's out saying it's going to have a, you know, a full grid solar project. So, and Bank of America said in a note recently that it's the first time in years, I think, you know, 4 or 5 years, it's seen that buybacks aren't the number one concern of its of clients on its survey. So that trend might be shifting a bit to where the money goes from these companies. And if CapEx becomes an important part for investors, then, you know, it might not matter exactly how much of, you know, is cut from the skinny bill.
Right. All right, Stephen, what about you?
My favorite story was economic news this morning, and that was the March ISM manufacturing report. Okay. Which unexpectedly rose to 64.1 from about 60 previously, 61 expected. You know, we've got an economic boom going on in this country. The most recent stimulus, those checks have not even all gone out yet. Tax refunds are behind schedule. We have, you know, significant blockages. There's a lot of the survey respondents talked about they can't get parts, they can't get labor. This is the kind of thing you can imagine Alan Greenspan in his bathtub reading his economic reports and, you know, kind of rushing out some sort of speech where he talks about raising interest rates, but interest rate hikes aren't even on the radar until 2023, when we're still in early 2021. And we might have another massive stimulus package still to come this year. So something's got to bust. You can't have what's happening there. No hint of interest rate hikes until 2023, and something's got to change on that front.
Yeah, or maybe we just go a lot higher in risk assets. Maybe growth and tech will resume the march upward. Who knows? And Kathy Wood will be redeemed. Not that she's really lost all that much, but anyway. Although some people on Twitter, you believe that she is probably Satan or something like that. But anyway,
she got a billion in inflows this week.
So. Right. So yeah. Okay. Right. Brad, what about you?
We talked about the banks being exposed to this hedge fund collapse. I thought that was just really fascinating. We had all this brouhaha a decade ago when Dodd-Frank, no more prop trading for banks. You're not allowed, you can't bet with your own capital. And sure enough, they don't do it. They act as, you know, counterparties. They build these contracts. We believe it's like, I think, the total swaps agreements with the hedge fund, allow this hedge fund to build these massive positions off book without disclosures anywhere. And now they're left holding the bag. So I think what was fascinating, you're seeing massive sell-offs. I think at the early part of the week, Credit Suisse was down 11%. Nomura was down 15% as these banks are expected to, as they all, I guess, fled for the exits instead of coordinating with one another, as some people had suspected they would. And basically, whoever got out first managed to kind of skirt by without unscathed. And I just thought it was interesting that there's just all these ramifications for, you know, the banks who never tend to lose in any of these circumstances. But I guess it brings up the, you know, if I owe the bank $1 million, it's my problem. But if I owe the bank $80 billion, it's their problem. So, you know, that's very interesting. And I think it's just interesting that it tied into our value discussion. Banks are one of the biggest value propositions over the past year. And they just took a small hit during this past week.
Yeah, interesting there also what didn't happen. You know, this was not a Lehman moment. This was not an LTCM moment. And indeed, not even all the banks were hurt. I mean, Goldman and Morgan Stanley got out before everybody else, right? And they kind of, for whatever reason, they were able to stay away from it, to firewall themselves. So it wasn't a systemic event. And who knows if later in the cycle it would have been. But yeah, who knows? But anyway,
It was systemic for Viacom shareholders.
well, no, but they're still around though. I mean, yeah, okay, they dropped from their high, but look how high they were, and yeah, and they haven't gone bankrupt. The shares are still out there, you know.
Right, and I thought Discovery. The interesting part, some of the analysts came out in the wake of this, and I looked at Viacom shares earlier in the week just out of curiosity, and they were still there, even with that 50% sell off, they're still where they were at the beginning of the year. And some of the analysts, I think one of the most notable, I think it was Moffitt Nathanson, could have been another telecom analyst, said that they're still not buyers of the name. So you could lose 50% and still be overvalued, which I guess speaks to Stephen's point on a lot of this bubblish territory and a lot of that has cropped up here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back at our regularly scheduled time next week. Welcome to April. Welcome to the second quarter. No April Fool's jokes from us. Hope you didn't fall for any other ones other than maybe the Volts Wagon 1 from VW. And if you're listening to this and want to view the video, then you can do that at seekingalpha.com/videos, as well as on our YouTube channel. With that, we thank you for watching or listening, as the case may be, and look forward to speaking to you again next week.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.